The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their jack-o'-lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious. Only $6 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
The plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
We're having fun because we're number one, and the part that makes us smile.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, you people are sick.
It is Thursday, October 15, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza, sitting right there.
Hey there.
Hey! We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best goddamn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. I'm serious. If you need legal advice, if you need legal help, if you're in trouble, better call Bo. Or if you just need a consultation, go over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or click the link on the podcast page. Get free legal advice from my man, Bo Bowen. Okay, we were supposed to have Charles Johnson from Little Green Footballs on today, but he's not, he's feeling under the weather. So no Charles Johnson. I think we were going to bump him to Tuesday. Just letting you know. If you want to read everything Charles Johnson is doing, go to littlegreenfootballs.com/Bob and Chez. No, I'm just kidding about that. I like automatically throw that into every URL I mention. Because really, shouldn't every website have a section for this show?
Yes.
All right, we are.
I think they should.
We are now officially, and I think I've done the math correctly. We're now $95 away from the halfway mark on Patreon.com/Bob and Chez.
Good for us.
So we're $95 away per month. It's $95 away from being at $37.50, which is the halfway mark, which is where we want to get. In order to get to $7,500 per month, which means we do the show 5 days a week somehow. Somehow, Chez and I work up the motivation, work up the energy, the capacity, the time to do five of these per week, plus an after party, plus the post-mortem shows. It's basically like continuous podcasting 24 hours a day, 5 days a week.
We should just start a webcam in our bedrooms.
Just start the
parachute. I could think of several people who would really enjoy that. Put it this way, they wouldn't have time to type comments out. Or if they did, they'd have to do it with one hand.
Right.
You know what today is, by the way?
What is today?
Today is National Grouch Day.
It's National Grouch. So it's your day.
You know what
it's
that
like
means?
It
means
day.
You can all suck my c-
Hello.
National Grouch Day.
National Grouch Day.
I much preferred yesterday, which was National No Bra Day. Why can't every day be National No Bra Day?
You live in California. It already is.
Okay. So, I guess we got to talk about the Democratic debate. It was so funny. On Tuesday's show, we previewed the Democratic debate, and then the show didn't come out until the debate was actually going on. So anyone who listened to Tuesday's show is like, well, I already know everything that happened. These guys are still talking like it's before the debate. Everyone talking to their iPods going, what are you guys talking about? It's over. Well, okay, so I guess we're going to talk about the Democratic debate. The winner of the debate, the American people.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, if you want to get down to specifics, I think Hillary Clinton won the debate, easily won the debate. I thought Bernie Sanders was, as always, refreshing. It was great to hear someone owning progressive and liberal ideas and not apologizing for them and not dancing around them or couching everything in some sort of pander to the middle or to the center right.
Right.
Finally, I remember Martin O'Malley saying something. They were talking about handguns, talking about firearms. Martin O'Malley had to do the whole thing where he's got to qualify everything by saying, well, I don't want to take rights away from families who have had guns in their families and the hunting and the hunters and the shut the fuck up. Seriously. Enough of that. If we were to eliminate, I was actually mentioning this on the John Fugelsang show today. If we were to eliminate the Second Amendment, which is my proposal, that's never going to happen, but it's still my proposal anyway, eliminate the Second Amendment, people would still be able to go hunting. There would be no laws against hunting. And if there were regulations against hunting, there's already regulations against hunting. You need to get a license. You need to do all these things in order to go hunting. It's a fact. So there's no danger to hunting. There's no danger if you've got a family heirloom and a firearm and you want to hand it down to your kids. There's nothing wrong with that either. That's all fine. But it doesn't need to be codified into the Constitution. Just a little rant there. It doesn't need to be in there. Any more so than we should actually have a constitutional amendment protecting your right to buy a car. That's a stupid idea. Then there was Jim Webb.
Jim
Webb killed a man.
Just before the debate.
And then he grins
He killed a man in the green room.
Right. And then he smiled after he said it. Like the guy that threw a grenade at me and wounded me, but he didn't last very long. And then he grins and like the little sparkle goes off his teeth. Like
he tried to take my bagel. So I ate his heart.
With some fava beans. I ripped his heart out of his chest, still beating, and I took a bite of it. Ha, 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 ha.
Jim Webb deserves his own, like, Chuck Norris-style meme.
Like on Colbert last night, Colbert described Jim Webb as former Virginia senator and man holding in a burp, Jim Webb.
Right.
Colbert was hilarious. His debate recap was hilarious. Here's a bit of Stephen Colbert talking about Bernie Sanders.
And no surprise, the senator from Vermont stayed true to his core message.
It is immoral and wrong that the top 0.1% in this country own almost 90%, almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. 57% of all new income is going to the top 1%. 1%. 51%, 36%, 90%. 80%, 63%.
I would not want to split a check with Bernie Sanders. What is this? 5% of the people at this table are paying 40% of the tip, which should be 15%, 20% for good service, or 18.5% for a party of six or more. I am tired of the great majority of seltzer drinkers footing the bill for a small number of mimosa drinkers. Yes, I did take a bite of the fruit plate, but I was on record as against ordering it. The point is, this brunch is rigged. This brunch is rigged.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. In fact, I can see that actually happening in real life. Bernie Sanders disputing the splitting of a check.
Yeah, somebody already did the absolutely essential, predictable mashup of Curb Your Enthusiasm and the debate.
Oh, really?
Where they used the Curb Your Enthusiasm music through the whole thing.
Yeah, you know what? I saw that. I haven't a chance to look at it yet.
Perfect.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah.
Is it pretty? Okay. Because sometimes those things are kind of lame. Speaking of lame, did you see Did you see Fallon and David Alan Greer last night on Tonight Show doing Trump
you know
and Ben
what?
Carson?
This is the way that I treat Fallon bits. I see them as I scroll through Facebook, and that's all I see of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that they get shared because, of course, they're going to get shared. They always get shared. That's why. That's his the reason for his soul. The sole reason for his existence is to get shared virally on Facebook by every goddamn idiot on earth.
That's right,
Jimmy Fallon. So yeah, I saw it in the sense that I'm aware of its existence.
Yeah,
I did not actually watch it.
I saw about, I don't know, I would say 5 seconds of it before I summarily, like, ejected it from my browser window. Like, I just closed the, I have a bunch of tabs open in Chrome. I just closed the entire tab. Usually I would just click off to something else. I was so angry about it, I'm like, F*** you, closing that tab.
Shut your whole computer off, set it on fire, and throw it out the window.
I almost did that because it was like, it was so annoying right off the bat. First, it was Jimmy Fallon just mugging for the camera as Trump, just milking the hell out of it. And then just going, huge, huge. And then everyone starts clapping. Woo! He said huge. He said catchphrase. Jimmy Fallon said catchphrase.
Yeah.
It's just like, huge, huge. And he's just like, huge, over and over again. And I'm like, woo-hoo! He said it a couple more times. Woo! Oh, got to share this on Facebook.
He's just awful.
And then here's the thing. All right, now I'm interested to hear your. I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the context of the Uncle Ben's rice parody that's going around on Facebook right now,
right?
Regards to Ben Carson, the setup of the sketch, and I use the term sketch very loosely, is Donald Trump calls Ben Carson on the phone to talk about the Democratic debate, says huge a bunch of times, and then David Alan Greer as Ben Carson does an okay impression of Ben. I think David Alan Greer is a very funny guy, but he did an okay impression of Ben Carson. The thing was, is he, now there's a distinction between how we do Ben Carson and how they did Ben Carson on The Tonight Show. We play Ben Carson as being a boring guy who puts other people to sleep.
Right.
They played, I want to get your take on this. They played Ben Carson as a guy who is just himself sleepy. In fact, one of the jokes was Jimmy Fallon's Donald Trump says, I took a nap during the first hour of the debate, and Ben Carson, played by David Alan Greer, says, I took 4 naps in the first hour of the debate. And so it's just like, oh, Ben Carson's a sleepy guy.
Right.
Now, I'm wondering if that had been Barack Obama.
Lazy.
If I would have written like a 2,000-word thing for whichever site I'm writing for, given at that given moment.
I don't know.
They're doing the lazy, shiftless stereotype. That's racist. That's probably
like the response to it. I don't know. I don't. If Barack Obama had the personality of Ben Carson, I don't think it would have been the least bit racist. I mean, you know, I get the idea. It's kind of an easy thing to go for that Ben Carson is tired, which, you know, sometimes he does look that way.
Yeah.
But I think that our interpretation of him is much more correct. You know, not saying our impressions are better, but that he's just he's awake. He's just a really boring guy.
Yeah, he's a boring guy. And
I mean, Tommy Christopher in I think it was in Media called him a whispering insane person. Which is kind of perfect.
That's pretty good. Yeah. A whispering insane person. Yeah, but I mean, I get concerned. And you know, Obama sometimes has a tendency to be soporific. It was sort of that way in the 2008 debates where Barack Obama seemed like he wasn't really engaged in the debate.
Yeah.
Like, and this was not a usual thing, but it actually cropped up again in 2012 when he debated Mitt Romney and lost miserably in that first debate. But I think that was mainly because, not because he was unprepared, but because he was unprepared for Mitt Romney's just flagrant lying. I mean, the lying was ridiculous. So, but I wanted to get your take on that because
You know how I feel. You know what my attitude is when it comes to people who make jokes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we have a bad habit, especially with Twitter being what it is, of reaching for the most offensive connotation of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's always bound to get pissed off. But, I mean, that doesn't sound to me like it's anything that's very offensive. And again, I would hope that if Barack Obama had the personality of a Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know what? He can be a little dull, but he's not Ben Carson.
Oh, certainly
But if he
not.
Had that personality, I wouldn't have a problem with a comic making a joke about how absolutely deadly boring he is to the point of sleepy.
So changing gears here for a second, you wrote a great piece, I thought, for the Daily Banter. If you have a working brain, you have no choice but to vote for a Democrat for president in 2016, which is exactly right. I don't think anyone's put it that clearly yet, and it's so obvious.
Yeah, the debate earlier this week proved it. I mean, God, just the contrast between this chaotic clown show that has been going on the Republican side, with every single morning, it's like, let's see what new stupid horrible thing can happen today. You know, today there was today the news came out about a fight at a Donald Trump rally where a bunch of Latinos were spit on and practically beat up by Trump fans. You know, so you got that. And then you've got, God, what the hell did Mike Huckabee say today? Oh, Huckabee basically said that slavery would be better than prison.
Yeah, slavery would be better.
Biblical slavery would be a better idea when it comes to reforming or punishing people who committed crimes than sending them to prison.
And not just any crimes.
Jesus, man.
I mean, not just any crimes, nonviolent crimes.
Yeah.
He was talking specifically about nonviolent crimes. And he was on that radio show that keeps coming up. It's like every Republican candidate has to go on this show multiple times. This show, what's his name? Jan Mikkelsen?
Yeah.
Out of Iowa? It's like every time you turn around, there's another wingnut on the Jan Mikkelsen show saying crazy crap.
Oh, of course.
And that was Huckabee today. You know, we should do that. We should adopt laws based on this line from Exodus. I think it's the book of Exodus they were referencing.
Yeah, again, they're referencing, they're trying
slavery.
To get, they're coming up with modern day answers in a 2,000-year-old book. A 2,000-year-old book.
Yeah. That's it. Just
written by people who had none of the advancements that we do.
No.
That's, God damn it. You know, Sam Harris made a comment about that one time where he said that, you know, if you awoke somebody from, you know, the 12th century right now, they wouldn't understand anything about our society. Nothing. They wouldn't know a damn thing. They would be confused by every single thing. The only thing they wouldn't be confused by is religion.
Yeah.
Because nothing about it has changed in thousands of years.
And now they're using it to justify slavery. They're mainstreaming slavery. Slavery! Again, we're talking about slavery. I had to write a post today about Mike Huckabee, and I had to swat down the idea that we should impose slavery upon nonviolent offenders.
Isn't that amazing? That's a great way to put it. I never really thought of it that way. It's astonishing to think that we have to do that.
Yeah.
That we're actually in the modern conversation, in the modern political discourse in the year 2015, we are talking about, we're trying to, you know, and this is something you brought up before, where you say that once it's put out there, then we have no choice but to discuss it. And that in some ways normalizes it. Now suddenly we're all like, oh, you know what? No, slavery is not a good idea. Who the fuck? Why are we having to say that?
Yes, why do we have to swat it down? It's because they keep...
We have to confront someone in a position of authority who said, slavery, great idea.
It's because they keep ringing the bell, so we have to make all the stops.
Yeah.
They keep ringing the slavery bell. Jesus God. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk about Fox and Friends and how they attacked the Democratic debate. I'll give you a hint. Spoiler warning. It was stupid and no substance. Completely substance-free. Okay, quick break. We'll come back with more show right after this. Hey, folks. Bob here. Unlike the neck-bearded millennials, I shave every damn day. And for the last few weeks, I've been using Harry's shaving products. And I'll never go back to the stores for blades or ever pay those prices again. The Harry's razor fits in my hand and it fits my face. It's a quick and comfortable shave with really smooth results. See, Harry's was started by a couple of guys who passionately wanted to make shaving a better experience. In the process, they bought a German factory that's been making these engineered blades for 100 years. That means no more middleman, no more middleman prices. The blades come straight from that factory at factory prices. Now you can get a Harry's starter kit for just $10 if you use the code RELM, R-E-L-M, when you go to harrys.com. That's the razor, a month's supply of blades, and a lathering gel so thick you'll swear it's a dessert topping. And a little travel case to keep your blade fresh on the road. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. And say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code RELM at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month of great shaves for just $10. Use the code RELM at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com.
Bubble Genius, Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you for listening today, downloading and supporting the show.
Moving on the floor now, baby, you're a bird of paradise.
Okay, just a, I know we have some new participants in the political discourse. I mean, that happens every election season, new people climbing on board and following the presidential campaign. I don't mean to splain. This is not about splaining. This is just a bit of knowledge, bit of wisdom to pass along. There are three things in political campaigns that are completely irrelevant in terms of predicting the outcome of an election. Three things, and three things alone. Number one, yard signs. Right. The number of yard signs you see as you're driving around is zero indication as to who's going to win an election. Number two, crowd sizes. The larger the crowd, doesn't matter. Doesn't translate to election victories.
That's just true.
Statistically, you can have gigantic crowds. Doesn't matter.
And I know where you're going with the third.
Third, online polls.
Yep.
Online polls are completely irrelevant. Why? Because campaigns now have social media teams that go around and they astroturf the polls.
Online polls and social media volume.
Yes.
Volume meaning sort of the loudness of it as opposed to the number of people.
And I'm not saying this to attack the Bernie Sanders people. That's not the point of this. This is just to say that there are indicators of Bernie Sanders' success, and that is a fact, but they are not yard signs, crowd sizes, or online polls. Those three things are completely irrelevant. Now, if you want to look at Bernie Sanders advancing in the actual polls in Iowa and New Hampshire, very, very good indicator of success, or at least coming really damn close. The same goes with the national polls as well. But if you think that the sizes of Bernie Sanders' crowd or the fact that he raised $1.3 million during the debate on his Hillary email joke, or it wasn't even a joke, it was a line.
Yeah, I mean, people shouting online and money bombs, you know, that's meaningless.
Yeah, because in that case...
Two words for you there, Ron Paul.
I was just going to say we would be in the second Ron Paul term right now for president.
Ron Paul just rode in on a wave of excitement and money. Oh, my God, look at all the money Ron Paul made.
That's right.
And, you know, people online are talking about him. They have bumper stickers, Ron Paul Relovution.
Relovolution? What is it?
However the f*** you say that word. Yeah, you know, and that Ron Paul, man, everybody's talking about Ron Paul.
Everyone's
No.
Again, this is the same mistake that the Republicans made with the Tea Party. They mistook volume and loudness, volume in terms of crowd sizes, and loudness for actual electoral popularity. And what they did is they wrapped their arms around this and thought, well, this is going to propel the Republicans to victory upon victory upon victory of the White House, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just didn't work. They created this Frankenstein monster that they can't control now. Yeah. And it's completely flummoxing the entire Republican caucus in Congress with the whole Speaker of the House race and all that crap. It's making them look like a bunch of buffoons. The chickens are coming home to roost.
Right.
But so you don't want to look at things that are more or less superficial in predicting a race. You got to look at specifically the polls. And more specifically than that, all you got to do is go and watch Nate Silver's website.
Yeah.
That was the real takeaway from 2012. Keep an eye on Nate Silver, follow what he's saying, follow his model on the polls, and you're going to be in pretty good shape knowing what's going to happen in a general sense, because there's no predicting. Like, there's really no predicting who the hell's going to win the GOP nomination at this point. But if you want to get a kind of an idea, then you look at Nate Silver. Beyond that, everything short of really, and I hate to seem like a Nate Silver disciple, but anything short of Nate Silver is a crapshoot. Nate Silver is still pretty good. What did he miss? One? He missed one congressional election in 2012 that he predicted inaccurately. Out of all of them. Yeah. That would be 435 different House races, the presidential race, a bunch of Senate campaigns. He missed one. So, and then, of course, the lesson there, too, was Mitt Romney and his campaign weren't paying any attention to Nate Silver and were only following their internal polls. And, of course, their focus group and, of course, their crowd sizes and the yard signs, making all the classic predictive mistakes. They're just passing that along. Maybe that was splaining. I have no idea. So Fox and Friends had Laura Ingraham on Wednesday morning to recap the Democratic debate. Suffice to say, it was substance-free.
Really? I'm shocked by that.
All brains were left in the brain room, including Laura Ingraham's brain. Let's go through some of this this segment on Fox and Friends.
Meanwhile, take a look at this tweet from Laura Ingraham. It says, just tuned back in, still going on, thought they were all against torture. Oh, the funny author of that tweet joins us live from our nation.
Get it? It was boring and torturous.
God, I just hear Doocy's voice. I'm start punching the air in front of me.
Nobody loves the Doocy in the box.
What a fucking asshole.
And of course, the big joke now is that that he looks like he's related to Lincoln Chafee.
He kind of does.
He kind of does. Lincoln Chafee. What a mess Lincoln Chafee was, by the way. Just a shame. He just kept saying two things. I don't have any scandals. And then his excuse for voting to repeal Glass-Steagall was, I just got to the Senate like a second before that, and I didn't know. I'm also doing the Charlie in the Box voice for Lincoln Chafee.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the Box.
No. I didn't know. And Anderson Cooper's like, so what does that tell your voters, that you'll vote for things that you've never read and haven't heard of? Well, I don't know. There were lots of takedowns. Here, a little more of this.
Nation's capital.
My gosh.
It was torture time. The overarching message you took from the debate last night?
Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee. That's what I mean. I know for months people have been saying, oh, Hillary's going to be crippled because of Benghazi or emails. And I've been saying on this show and on Fox for many months, two families matter in politics today, really matter, maybe three. The Bushes, the Clintons, and the Obamas. And the idea that Hillary Clinton, with all this experience, was just going to go, you know, ball up in a corner somewhere and start whimpering because Trey Gowdy is going to hold a hearing, that's just not how the Clintons operate. I mean, they've walked through the fire of these scandals, all of them self-generated, for decades. And they've managed to, I know it frustrates people, but they've managed to walk through and usually look better after the investigations. Mm-hmm. So that's my take from this debate. I think...
Well, you know, it helps when the investigations are bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually with her up until the self-generated part about those scandals.
Right.
Because, no. Actually, you know what? There have been a couple of scandals surrounding the Clintons that were really worth looking at. But for the most part, man, they are just despised by the right. Just despised by conservatives. And they have spent how many years now attacking them? How many years just trying desperately to hang something really horrific around their necks?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, there have been some things that the Clintons really, really stepped in for themselves.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
when you count the number of scandals that they've, you know, the number of scandals that have been brought up on the right about the Clintons versus the number of scandals that they've actually, you know, were their fault, holy crap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you really want a recap of what went on in the 1990s, get a documentary called The Hunting of the President. And it's all about the conservative conspiracy against the Clintons. And it details all of those scandals and how they were all entirely horseshit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have another congressman coming out today saying that the Benghazi hearings are all about going after Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I saw that.
Second House Republican has now conceded that the overarching purpose of the House Select Committee on Benghazi has been to attack former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. In September, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy argued that one of the House Republican successes has been using the Benghazi Committee to drive down Clinton's poll numbers. Quote, sometimes the biggest sin you can commit in D.C. is to tell the truth. This guy said, what's his name? Richard Hanna, Republican from New York. Sometimes the biggest sin you can commit in D.C. is to tell the truth, Hanna said in an interview on Keeler in the Morning. Keeler in the Morning! Good morning! Radio show in upstate New York.
That's right.
Cheers to Thunder Brewers. Hey, it's 15 minutes after 3 o'clock. 45 minutes till 4.
Hold on just one second. Oh, yeah. Let's keep going.
The third-term congressman paused for a moment, perhaps recognizing the importance of what he was about to say, before going on to agree with McCarthy's original statement. Quote, this may not be politically correct, but I think there was a big part of this investigation that was designed to go after people and an individual, Hillary Clinton. He explained further why he believes that Benghazi Committee's purpose has been in part to attack Clinton. Quote, after what Kevin McCarthy said, it's difficult to accept at least a part of it was not, Hanna said. I think that's the way Washington works, but you'd like to expect more from a committee that's spent millions of dollars and tons of time. Now, you know how I feel about Alan Grayson. I'm not a big Alan Grayson fan. The fact of the matter is, though, he's filing an ethics complaint against Trey Gowdy and the Republicans involved in the Benghazi Select Committee. Because of course, they're using federal tax dollars, taxpayer money, on a purely political inquest against Hillary Clinton. Right. This has nothing to do with getting down to the truth about Benghazi, which, by the way, we kind of know the truth. She did nothing wrong. Barack Obama did nothing wrong. But the fact of the matter is that this has nothing to do with investigating Benghazi. It has everything to do with taking down the Clintons. And that is a clear ethical violation on behalf of the Republicans. And I don't know why there isn't some sort of recall proceeding going on against all of them.
Right. Did you see this also? Wayne Simmons has been arrested after a federal grand jury indicted him on charges of major fraud against the United States, wire fraud, and making false statements to the government, including allegedly falsely claiming he worked for the CIA. Simmons was a frequent and favorite guest on Fox News and was one of the one of conservative media's purported experts on the 2012 Benghazi attacks.
That's right.
Simmons joined several prominent conservative activists and media figures in calling for the House to convene a Benghazi Select Committee.
Yeah, Wayne Simmons claimed to have 23 years of experience with the secretive federal agency, the CIA, as a quote-unquote outside paramilitary special operations officer. On his website, Simmons claims he joined the U.S. Navy in 1973, where he was recruited by the CIA and spearheaded deep cover intel ops against some of the world's most dangerous drug cartels and arms smugglers from Central and South America and the Middle East. Right. So Fox News doing a great job of vetting its people. Fox News spokesman told CNN that Simmons was an unpaid guest and never a host for the station, and declined further comment. CNN pointed out that Simmons had a pattern of making extreme and factually dubious claims about terrorism, including a claim in January that there were at least 19 paramilitary Muslim training facilities inside the United States. Oh, that was him.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah, so there it is.
God.
You're bastard people.
That's the guy who said that, that you know what, they're Muslim training camps, and that went to the Muslim no-go zones.
No-go zones, that's
another
right.
Great conspiracy that was absolute horseshit from Fox.
Oh, yeah, the no-go zones. Good Lord. Completely untethered to reality.
And that, you know, is what? But here's the important thing to keep in mind. The people in the Fox News bubble will never hear this.
Right.
Never. They all have no idea that Wayne Simmons was indicted.
Yeah. Because the entire conservative MO now is to just get people stirred up. They don't care how. They don't care if it's debunked 2 days later or even 24 hours later. It's just all about giving the upper middle-aged white guys, the white conservatives watching Fox News Channel, as close to a boner as they'll ever have anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the entire point. We're going to take another break, back with more show after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, Or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Pants.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yes, do it. All right. By the way, and thank you to everyone who left 5-star ratings and reviews on iTunes. I saw a whole bunch of new ones this week. Really, really appreciate your support there. By the way, the second half of the show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter that site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Okay, so moving along here, this Fox News analyst busted by the CIA. We also have Jesse Ventura audio coming up. Jesse Ventura in the news again this week.
It's like Christmas.
It is. It really is. It's like a cavalcade of gifts just for this show. Before we take one last break, I know we just got done with a break, but we were late
also,
for that break.
Also, remember that it's National Grouch Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's National
Grouch
Day.
So I plan to spend the entire last segment of this show doing nothing but yelling at people and complaining about shit.
Okay.
Just berating everyone.
And in honor of yesterday's No Bra Day, I'm not wearing a bra.
I like that.
Just pass that along to you. Yeah. Did you see Louis Gohmert freaked out during the Planned Parenthood hearings? He just completely.
I think I heard something about that. He just suddenly started blurting out something. Was it Benghazi?
Yeah, he started going. It was like he was questioning someone, a former Planned Parenthood employee who's kind of turned against Planned Parenthood. And he's asking her a bunch of questions about Planned Parenthood. And then out of nowhere, as if to suffer whiplash, he starts going off about Benghazi in the only way that Louis Gohmert really can, which is with lots and lots of spittle and lots of stupid.
I was so pleased with the comment from my friend from Tennessee that Benghazi was politics. Yeah. That's exactly what we've been trying to get to. It was politics. You had people meeting here in America in Washington while people were dying, while Ty Woods was gathering David Ubbin and Glenn Doherty and going to the rooftop to man guns to try to protect the people in those facilities.
Wow.
Yes, Benghazi.
Yes, yes. It was Benghazi.
You know how pissed off he is about the proposal to put an MLK memorial on Stone Mountain.
Did he come out against that?
Oh, I'm just saying.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, he's got to be completely opposed to that. But, Louis Gohmert obviously...
are going to do to Stone Mountain what they did like the towelheads in Benghazi.
What does this have to do with Planned Parenthood? Nothing.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing. It's just I've got a microphone in front of me, and now I'm going to talk about Benghazi and those people came and they...
I can never get my head around the fact that this idiot is in the House of Representatives.
If you ever want to do a really good Louis Gohmert impression, just inject Novocaine into your tongue.
Right, yeah.
Just let it go and just do the Southern accent. Oh, God, King Damn Fire, Dark Pages, and that a bunny money. And it's so
sad. He's like if Eric Cartman was on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Don't cast aspersions on my asparagus.
Have we figured out what was that? That was all about the asparagus thing? Has anyone no idea what that was. Here's a little more Louis Gohmert freaking out.
He was about politics. And I would love to know what the president was doing that night. But I can tell you, if I had people that worked for me, my personal ambassador is missing, I could not go to bed. And yet, apparently there was plenty of rest before he went to the fundraiser in Las Vegas the next day. Yes. My colleague is right.
Now, did the question is, did Louis Gohmert go to bed? during Benghazi at all. Did he go to bed the next night? Where was Louis Gohmert? I think Louis Gohmert's just perpetually sleeping anyway. He's just always half asleep. Or it's just the brain damage. One last break, and we'll finish up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hi, thanks for joining us on our Thursday show. After party tomorrow.
Legend of the Phoenix.
Get ready for that.
All ends with beginnings.
Jesse Ventura has been clearly listening to the show because he wants to give us more and more material to talk about.
Let's win this thing.
We demand a man who speaks his mind.
Jesse Ventura.
Darn right.
Not some suit who only toes the party line.
I don't play that game.
Jesse. That poor guy, man. That poor singer. He walked out of that studio and just like, give me my check immediately.
This is my last job. Yeah. Ever.
This is it. Like, this is what I always. This is how I wanted to use this great talent of mine.
I officially have reached rock bottom. Next step is doing porn music.
Yeah.
So I think I'm out.
On the inside.
I'm no career politician.
Jesse, now.
I mean, you can't say that anymore because he's been mayor, he's been governor, and now he's made a big announcement. It was on Larry Wilmore the other night. He was a guest on Larry Wilmore and made a huge. See, now if I say huge, then the Tonight Show crowd will applaud for me. Made a huge announcement on Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central. It's a big deal. But first, we're going to get down to some observation on the election from Jesse Ventura.
Jesse, you were an unlikely candidate when you became governor of Minnesota.
Really?
Well, you were unlikely. You weren't in the political system.
Okay.
Don't act like you weren't an ex-wrestler, Jesse.
Yeah, but I was also an ex-mayor.
You were a mayor. You were a mayor. So you actually helped.
But I am a political outsider. I was a governor and a mayor, but I'm on the outside. I am not a career politician. No.
Office, that is
yes,
correct.
Yes, I did.
But
I,
from your perspective, which of these unlikelies do you think could actually be president? And please don't scare me.
I would think Trump and Sanders.
Really?
Possibly. Uh-huh. Trump, because he's got enough money to be able to run.
Uh-huh.
And as much as you dislike him, one of the good things about him is he's not subjected to the bribery that mm-hmm. goes on.
Yeah.
He's doing it with his own money, and no one's bribing him, so there's mm-hmm. not the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain who controls him. When I ran in Minnesota, they poo-pooed
Minnesota.
Me, too.
Yeah.
But everywhere I went was like Bernie. There were 5,000 people here, 10,000 there.
He's making the same mistake we talked about before.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. It
populist candidates always draw big crowds.
That's right. That's right.
Always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because populist candidates ignite a certain kind of passion.
Right.
They will draw people from all over. You know, the people who love them, they'll be like rock stars. The people who love them will follow them places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, they will make sure to turn out. But the average voter doesn't go to rallies.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know, the
no,
average no. voter doesn't give a shit about what's popular on social media.
That's right.
It's just staggering that he would say something like that.
Yeah, I know.
That well, you know what? Let's ignore every other terrible thing about him.
I don't care about the racism. Right. I don't care what he says about DARPA. All I care about that he's not part of the bribery going on. Right.
But that's the thing. I mean, because that's Jesse's pet issue. Mm-hmm. You know, his pet issue, money and politics, which, by the way, hugely important.
Of course
it is. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like one of those people he's like David Sirota. Remember when David Sirota did the whole thing with, you know, Stand with Rand?
Oh,
it's like,
right.
It's like, I'm willing to overlook every other horrific thing about this person and every other thing that runs contrary to my own beliefs simply because he happens to agree with me on the one thing that the one big issue that I plant my flag in the ground on.
Yeah. Do you think for a second that if Trump gets the nomination, that he's not going to take any sort of PAC money? He's to run in the general election against Hillary effing Clinton?
Right. Of course he is.
Right now, Trump is running against the 13 dwarfs. It doesn't matter. He can use his own money, whatever. Gets the election, that's the big boy table. That's the grown-ups table. And you got to have the money in order to be able to compete. And there's no way that he's going to use his own money in a national election. Yeah. So good luck. Continue with your pipe dreams, Jesse.
Rest assured, if they show up to see him live, they're voting for him.
But look,
because you can see them all on TV.
Right.
But if you show up live, they're voting for him. None of these other people are getting 20,000 to show up.
There we go again, number two.
He's got the most yard signs, too. Bernie Sanders has more yard signs than Ben Carson.
Yep.
No, that's not how it works.
We do it all the time. Yeah, we did it with Steve Forbes.
Let me throw one out for you to chew on. End of May, the Libertarians hold their convention and they nominate who they want.
And who would that be?
He might be sitting at the table.
Oh, boy.
And there he is. So it looks like Jesse Ventura is going to run for president.
Actually, no, Larry Wilmore is the Libertarian candidate for president.
Right. The funny thing is, though, is that Jesse Ventura is going to completely contradict himself coming up here in a little bit. You're saying the Libertarian Party is going to nominate someone and you might be looking at him. So that's the big announcement. That's the big announcement for Jesse Ventura. Now keep listening.
I didn't see that. Congratulations. Really? No, I haven't done it yet, but I'm waiting to get the pipers out. Get the pipers out.
Okay.
Get them down to one so I know who it is. Get the pikers out. Get it down to one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And then you slide right in there. Okay.
So what the hell is he talking about? Get the pikers out until it's one-on-one, and then you slide right in there.
And then I can body slam whoever is still left.
Then it'll be your face against the turnbuckle.
Right.
After that,
hit him in the back with a chair.
It'll be me versus the pikers in a cage match. In a barbed wire chair match.
Right. Well, I love WWE. What's better than like a 2x4 covered in barbed wire? A flaming 2x4 covered in barbed wire.
Jesus. So he's going to get the pikers out and then he's going to slide in there. I assume that's the other potential Libertarian nominees he's talking about. Those are the pikers. And then he's going to slide in there. After they're gone.
Let's take, for example...
Wait, this is your master plan.
Wait.
Hold on a second. All right. So you're going to try to... Wait, hold on a second.
Trump ain't going to get the nomination, right?
No, wait, listen. You're going to try to...
Okay.
You're counting on Trump to get there so you can out-Trump Trump?
No. I want Hillary and Bush. Now, imagine when people go in the voting booth, the disenchanted people, and they see these other Democrats and Republicans, and then all of a sudden they see Jesse Ventura. All right.
Good Lord.
Okay, Jesse.
I think I might like to vote for him.
Keep it 100, Jesse.
Good. Go for it, Jesse. You know where you're stealing from? The Republicans.
That's right. Absolutely. I'm not sure if it was in there. It may have not made the edit. But what he said is, if he gets the Libertarian nomination, he's not going to accept it. Wow. So he's going to wait for the pikers to get out.
He's seriously... Jesse's fucking crazy.
He really is crazy. He really is crazy. So the pikers are going to come in, and I'm going to get the pikers out of there, and then I'm going to slide in, and then if they give me the nomination, I'm not going to accept it because I promised the people that I would not be... What? I don't understand what you're doing.
Libertarians, because they're giving me
what
my...
Wait. You're going to...
No,
you get the nomination.
Because
you're worse than Trump at this point. You're getting my vote, man. This is amazing.
Okay, if they agree to nominate me, I don't want to join because I want to be able to turn to the people.
Well, why would they agree to that?
Because they're libertarians. It's liberty.
That's a smart answer.
God, that's so perfect.
Because it's liberty. Yep. That's all you got to do. Brain.
Brain.
InfoWars.
InfoWars. Brain. Liberty. Wow.
It's what do you want to draw a wrestling match anyway? And I'm a participant.
So, you're following along then. Jesse Ventura looking to get nominated by the Libertarian Party. A nomination that he will turn down.
But then he also wants people to look at the ballot and see... Bush, Clinton, and him.
And him. Even though he's got zero party affiliation.
You know, he took a lot of hits in the ring. A lot.
He really did. And it's evidenced by the fact he's sitting there, he's on this panel on Larry Wilmore, and he's got the ponytail and then the tie-dyed shirt.
Of course, yeah.
Right? And he just looks like a freak. And he is, I gotta tell you, as crazy as he is, endlessly entertaining. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this, and I've got like a Cheshire cat grin from ear to ear going, this is the best thing ever. Jesse Ventura saying that he's going to wait for the Libertarian Party nomination and then turn it down. Yeah. He's got a whole strategy to get the nomination, which he's going to turn down. That is awesome. That is awesome. Pure, pure Jesse Ventura awesomeness.
Yep.
Okay, we've got a big post-mortem show for you coming up next. If you want to hear that show, you have to go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez, sign up at the $5 a month level, and for that $5, you get the, like two post-mortem shows a week, and that's worth it. That's a bargain at twice the price. Plus, if you sign up at the $10 level, you get the post-mortem show, and you get the after party, which you can hear on Fridays, completely uncensored and loaded with talk about masturbation lately. And at the $15 level, you get post-mortem show, you get after party, and you get the commercial-free, not-safe-for-work version of this free show. So it's like you get everything you could possibly imagine for just $15 a month. All right, that's coming up next. The post-mortem show is next. And we'll see you on the after party on Friday. Bye, folks. Bye-bye.